News to the hour. I'm Pete Shagnin. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter says he hand-delivered a letter to the Treasury Department to stress the need for cities to get some of the government's $700 billion bailout money.
I want to make sure that cities in metro areas are at the table, that their voices are being heard.
When asked at a news conference earlier this week whether cities might be able to get some of the government's $700 billion in bailout funds, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said that's not what the money's for.
The focus of TARP, as you know, is to stabilize financial institutions and strengthen the financial system, promote lending, and so on.
A grassroots military service organization is urging the Department of Justice to intervene immediately on behalf of 3,200 Virginia overseas voters. AFN's Chad Groening brings you this report.
Bob Carey is a senior fellow at the National Defense Committee, which was founded to protect the inherent legal and constitutional rights of military personnel and their dependents. He says the Department of Justice has regularly required states to send military absentee ballots out at least 30 days prior to an election. But Carey says in this election cycle, nearly 12,500 military and overseas ballots requested from the state of Virginia were not sent out by that deadline. As a result, he says, 3,285 ballots were not returned in time for Election Day.
We think it's imperative that their votes be received, cast, and counted. And if the Virginia local election officials fail to get the absentee ballot out in time, then they should be making accommodations in order to be able to receive those ballots in a timely fashion.
And Carey says it is completely irrelevant that the 3,285 ballots would not have affected the outcome of the presidential election.
If we say that they don't matter unless they can change the election, then we've established the precedence that military votes don't matter. And I think that's wrong.
And Carey says it is quite possible that some of the ballots might have an impact on races for other offices, including a couple of very tight congressional races in the state. He says the Justice Department needs to force the Commonwealth of Virginia to accept military ballots received at least 30 days after they were sent out. I'm Chad Groening.
The White House says world leaders appear ready to agree on steps to prevent a repeat of the global financial meltdown. They're arriving for a weekend summit in Washington. Press Secretary Dana Perino says President George Bush has been supportive of ideas that could include the creation of a College of Supervisors made up of regulators from many nations and a financial early warning system. In his Saturday radio address, which the White House released earlier than usual, Bush pleads for patience from the American people. He says nations around the world are responding to the financial emergency with bold measures, but that it will take more time to get through the crisis. The summit begins with a working dinner at the White House Friday night. Bush says he and other leaders gathered there this weekend will work to set up underlying principles for guiding financial system reform. Homosexual activists have continued to commit violent acts after homosexual marriage was rejected in last week's election. More on this story from AFN's Charlie Butts.
The latest incident involved a 69-year-old Christian woman and a television reporter in Sacramento surrounded by homosexual activists. Randy Thomason had SaveCalifornia.com.
They're shouting at, they're pushing, they've spit upon, they've destroyed the Star from Cross of a lady. They have really roughed her up. It's all on camera. And then the TV reporter is also getting shouted down, and she said, "We're under attack right now."
The video can be seen at SaveCalifornia.com, but it's one of many incidents in California directed at supporters of traditional marriage.
America needs to see the true face of the homosexual activists who are intolerant against people of faith and anyone who believes in real marriage between a man and a woman.
A church in Michigan was attacked last Sunday. I'm Charlie Butts.
Crude oil future prices ended lower on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The near-month contract for the benchmark grade fell $1.20, closing at $57.04 per barrel. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnin.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And what we do with this program is we go through the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Today we're beginning a brand new study in the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to jump right in. Now, Jeremiah's time, well, as we'll find out, is much like the days that we're living in today. They didn't have automobiles and computers and radios and televisions, but the implications of what was going on in the spiritual realm with the nation Israel and what's going on with America today are very closely related. So let's jump right into the text here. We're in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah, of course, was a son of Israel. His name in Hebrew was Yirmiyahu. He was the son of, it says Hilkiah, but it was Kilkiah or Kilkiyahu, the same thing. I'd see the Hebrew pronunciation of the Savior's or the Creator's name in the names of the men. The name Jeremiah means that Yah will rise. And you can get that directly from your Esword and their Greek and Hebrew concordance. And if you don't have your Greek and Hebrew concordance, if you don't have your Esword downloaded on your computer, I urge you to do that. You go to e-sword. That's e-sword, however you want to say it, e-sword.net. e-sword.net, and download the Esword program. And with that program, you're going to get the King James Version Plus. And that'll give you the software program to look at the Bible. It'll give you the King James Version plus the Greek and Hebrew. And really, that's all you need. I've also, for curiosity's sake, I've downloaded, they have there the original 1611 version of the King James, which comes in handy if you want to know how much the language has changed from the original English Bible to the authorized version, which was authorized at the end of the 1700s, or the 18th century. It was authorized at the end by a scholar at one of the universities here. Well, I forget where. Was it Cambridge or one of those universities? But if you really want to know all that, you can look it up. But the fact is, the authorized version is not the original 1611 version. The authorized version was authorized by certain denominations for use, and they authorized it over the 1611 version, the original version, because of the updated language. If you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, you'll find a link there in the middle of the page, or at the lower end of the home opening page. You'll find some links there, and there's one there that says the corrected names version. And in that version, you will find all of the Hebrew names have been corrected to their phonetically correct Hebrew version. But for study purposes, well, I'm going to still use the authorized King James. I mean, yeah, the authorized King James version in my Esword, because I have the Textus Receptus, and I can mouse over the names to see the corrected name. So we have here the words of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahuwah. And, of course, that says the Lord in the King James Version. That's what I like about the newer version. I'm hoping that our friend George, who corrected the names in the corrected names version of the authorized King James Version, I'm hoping that he'll get it published with Esword, and maybe we can use it as a direct study tool. But for now, download that Esword program and That way you can look at the Textus Receptus simply by mousing over the Hebrew names, I mean the Hebrew numbers, the Greek and Hebrew Strong's numbers in the version that opens up there with the program. And it's a little bit of a learning curve to get used to the program, but stick with it and you'll become a pro in no time. The more time you spend in it, the easier it gets. But it helps if you're going along with us in the study here to be able to mouse over things and look at it. And if you are not able to do that, perhaps you're working in a cabinet shop or you got your radio sitting out on the job site like I used to do when I was a carpenter and a builder. And always had a radio with me. In those days, there wasn't too much good radio. We had KDNO here in the South Valley of California, in the southern San Joaquin Valley. And that was it. If you didn't have that, you really had nothing. Because if you think Rush Limbaugh was anything, well, you had nothing. And all of the Christian stations, well, while they do have Bible teachers on there, the closest thing you can get to a Through the Bible program like this is J. Vernon McGee. And, hell, I got paid the compliment of my life here a few weeks ago. A friend of this program emailed me and said, I used to listen to J.V. McGee, and J.V., he gave me the milk of the word, but Nicholas, you're giving us the meat. Well, I wish I could brag on it. No, not really. I can't brag on it at all. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I've made a commitment to my Heavenly Father and to the listeners. If I'm going to do this, I'm not going to pull any punches. I want the meat of the word. And I'm going to give you the whole word. I'm not going to neglect or withdraw from anything because it's too controversial in our society. And that's what you're going to get. And a lot of people, oh, why do you got to do the names? Oh, you know, and all that. Some people moan and they groan. Say, oh, it's just a distraction. It's not important. Well, okay, well, maybe it's not to you. Or maybe it's not to somebody else, but it is to me. If you go to my website, you'll see up there at the top, it says Biblical Studies. It doesn't say Know-It-All Scholar, you know. This is Biblical Studies, because at the same time, I'm doing Bible studies on the air. And whatever I can find in the Bible, I'm studying as deep as I can get. And if that means tearing apart the names, it means studying the Bible, really studying it, tearing everything apart, turning over every stone, you know, no holds barred, no stone unturned. Let's look at it all. And I believe that the Heavenly Father will bless us in this venture. I know He's blessed me, and I know that He's blessed some of the listeners out there. So, you know, just suffer with us if it seems a little strange that I say Yahshua or Yahuwah, or I talk about the names in the original original language, and I pronounce them phonetically correct, at least as correct as I can get them. And I say Jeremiah, his name was Jeremiahu, and that means Yah will rise, God will rise, or our Creator will rise. And instead of saying the Lord, as the translators obliterated the name more than 6,000 times in the Old Testament alone, and that was not done by accident. I think, one, our Heavenly Father hid His name, and number two, I suspect that there was an anti-Semitic spirit behind it that drove it, that our Heavenly Father used to hide His name, actually. See, because you can serve our Heavenly Father by doing His will and being obedient to Him, or you can serve our Heavenly Father by serving His purpose, and even that by being disobedient and serving spirits that are contrary, those anti-Semitic spirits. And when I talk about anti-Semitic spirits, I'm not talking about the common anti-Semitism that is touted today. Not at all. There was I'm talking about the anti-Semitism that has been historically practiced by the great whore that has attempted throughout history to kill every Hebrew, national Israelite Hebrew, not so much what we call Jews today. Jew, the word Jew is practically a new invention. It's like I said, it's been practically invented since the onslaught of the authorized King James Version. Because if you go to east-sword.net, you download the program there, you'll get the authorized King James Version. But go ahead for that other download, that King James Version 1611, the original. And you'll find out that there is not one J in the whole book. That's the original King James Version, the 1611. And you won't find the word Jew in there anyway. You won't find Judea. Why, you won't even find Jeremiah. You won't find Joshua. You won't even find Jesus in it. You know, that's astounding to a lot of people. They think, no, authorized, that means that King James authorized it too. You know, that's what I thought for a long time too. But no, it was authorized by the congregations or the denominations that were more dominant in the day that the translation was made from the 1611 to the authorized King James. And I'm not saying that the authorized King James is worse or bad, because it's not worse or any more bad than the 1611 King James Version, where all of the Hebrew names had already been obliterated. And I think that goes back to the anti-Semitism of the reformers. Yeah, so let's face it, some of them were virulently anti-Semitic. Boy, I'm going to have a hard time just getting to Jeremiah. We'll get to Jeremiah here pretty quick. But some of them were virulently anti-Semitic, like Luther was, of course. And of course Luther was. You know, look who he was. He was a Catholic. A lot of people think of it that way. They think, well, Luther was a Protestant. No, Luther was a Catholic reformer. Of course, he never could reform the Catholic Church. So the Reformation really didn't work at all. He had to leave the church, and which started the Protestant movement. So you had the Reformation attempt, which failed. As you see, the Catholic Church was never reformed. And then you had the Protestant denominations arose out of that. They protested and started their own congregations and denomination because the Catholic Church would not reform. But a lot of them brought a lot of baggage with them. They brought Sunday worship. They brought a lot of the pagan influence. You know, Paul said that not to allow the pollutions of idols into the church. He talked about the pollutions of idols. Well, these are pollutions of idols. When you're having sunrise services and bunnies and eggs and bribing your children with candy to take part in these pagan festivals and feast days, that's called the pollutions of idols. You know, you have the pure water, you have the pure congregation, and you bring a little paganistic type thing into it. It's called pollution. It's not pure anymore. Christ Mass. Of course, Mass means death, and that's what the Catholic Church, they have this service every Sunday, every day of the sun, and they celebrate Christ's death, and they signify that death with their wafer and the blood, and they say that, and the reason that it's Christ's death is because that actually, because of their doctrine of transubstantiation, there it is, that fancy long word, that little wafer and that little piece of that wine actually becomes the body and blood of Christ, and he becomes crucified again. So they're you know, crucifying him afresh right there every Sunday. And partaking, of course, it's all only taking place in their own mind because there's no reality to it. So that's why it's called Christ Mass or Christ Death. So how's that? Merry Christ Death. That's what you say when you say Merry Christmas. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. Yeah. How dumb can people be? Well, people can be pretty dumb. I know, because I've been pretty dumb. And I still may be pretty dumb about some things, but I'm learning a lot because I'm willing to put down whatever I thought was true, even if it's true. You know, don't be afraid to put the truth down, because if the truth is all you want, you're going to pick it back up but a lot, you're going to leave a lot of untruth down. So put it all down. Put everything down and try everything. Try it all over. When I say try, I don't mean try it as in, you know, drinking beer and stuff like that and trying this and that. No, I mean trial. Try it as in put it under fire. Try it. You know, put everything that you believe, everything that you think you know, put it all on trial and judge it according to the truth. Try the spirits, try the knowledge, try whatever you think is true. Put it all down and be willing to try it all. That's the meat of the word. And that's why I say I can't brag, because that's, I'm just digging, you know, here. I'm mining for the truth. And by the grace and the mercy and the wisdom of my Heavenly Father and His Holy Spirit, He reveals things to us. And if you're after the truth and you have a desire to live by His Word and do only those things which please Him, if you don't buy into the doctrine that the law was nailed to the cross, because it never was, that that the law is a good thing, that we want to keep the law because our Heavenly Father has revealed His character through His law. That's right. When He said, "Thou shalt not murder," He was telling us something about Himself. When He said, "Thou shalt not steal," He was telling us something about Himself. His law reveals His character to us. If we hate His law and we don't want to do the things that please Him, then we don't want to be like Him. How else are we conformed to the image of His only begotten Son? By looking into His law and saying, "Please help me, Father. Write Your law upon my heart. Write it in my mind that I might not sin against Thee." Like the great prophet David said, you know, that I might not sin against Thee. And yes, David sinned terribly, and many of us have. I know I have in my life. You know, perhaps I didn't commit adultery and murder, but I could have. You know, I've felt like doing things like that before, and I've done some pretty terrible things in my life. But I'm not here to review what I've done. I'm here to tell you about the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father, our Creator, who became a man and laid down His life to pay the price for our sins in person. That's right. And He showed us what love was, and He showed us the way. And that's really what it's all about. That's why. Because He loved us first. That's why we love Him. That's why we want to please Him. When we understand what He did for us and how unworthy we are to even live, even our life when we're born, and if we live any life at all, it's all grace. Because He said to the first man and woman, He said, "In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Well, guess what? We all shall surely die. We all have that same death sentence. He could have just put them to death, and justice would have been served. He could have put them to death immediately. He could have snuffed us all out just like that by putting them to death. But no, His mercy and His grace is so fantastic. It's so huge. It is so abounding. And His love is so stupendous and just awesome that when you understand it and you begin to behold it, you realize, yes, His love for us is so great that we should want to respond in kind, to love Him. And then the question is, how? How do I love You, Heavenly Father? And He says, "Well, I wrote it in My book, you know, and I became a man, My Son, Yahshua." He said, yeah, Yahshua, Jesus said, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. He said, that's the reason that He gave us the Bible, the reason He gave us His Word. You look into the law and the prophets, and it tells us how to love God and love our neighbor as ourself. And He demonstrated it in person. And when we understand that, we learn about His character, we should just have a heart that says, "Help me. Teach me just to do the things that please You. Put that desire in my heart that I might live my life in a way that only pleases You. Write Your law in my mind and my heart, as the great prophet David said, that I might not sin against Thee." And that's the way we want to live. That's the way I want to live. And I hope that, you know, you listening out there, whoever you are, that you know, man, woman, boy, girl, that you'll have that same desire to live a holy life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father out of love for Him. Because you can't earn heaven. You can never erase your past sin debt. You can never erase the sin debt of our fathers. That's how great His mercy is and how great His love is toward us, and that we can't answer in kind is just an awful thing, that if we do not have the desire to love Him and please Him with every breath we breathe and every step we take and every waking moment of our lives, to just have that desire to do only those things that please our Heavenly Father. So let's jump into our text here. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yahuwah came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Well, this is how they kept their calendar, and they kept a record of, you know, when these things happened according to the reign of whoever was the king at the time. And anyway, we're in the days of Jeremiah, and the word of Yahuwah, verse 4, came unto me, saying. So we have here the record of Yirmiyahu, or Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set thee apart. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And of course the word there, nations, is goyim, or goyi in the Hebrew. And much of the time this word nations is pronounced Gentiles. But, you know, I think here that the translators got it right when they said nations, because this includes Israel as well as all of us. Yes, the book of Jeremiah was written unto the nations, and that includes us. So when we get back, we're going to find out what our Heavenly Father has to say through this prophet, Yirmiyahu, to us.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Today we're going through, we've just begun going through the book of Jeremiah, or as the Hebrew people would call him, Yirmiyahu. And we're in verse 5. Behold, now this is the word of Yahuwah, the Lord, came unto me saying, Jeremiah speaking, of course, here. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And, of course, a lot of the pro-life community likes to use this verse here to talk about how that, you know, a child in a womb is really a child and that it's a life and all that. Well, no argument there with me. And don't think I want to get into my abortion in the church rant right now, because many of you have been listening to me. You've heard it a few times already. But I really want to get into this prophetic word here. We have this great, the great prophet. Some people call him the weeping prophet. Jeremiah. And he's going to speak to the nations. He says, the Heavenly Father says about him, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And before he was born, before he was formed in the belly. Then said I, Ah, Yahuwah, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahuwah said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahuwah, the Lord, in the Authorized King James Version. And that's what I mean. If you're following along with me, you'll see, if you look at this page that I'm looking at, you'll see the capital L-O-R-D, all caps, with the little lower caps, T-H-E in front of it. And if you realize that everywhere you see that, I see it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, 8 to 10 times just on the page that I have open on my eSword, the in lowercase and L-O-R-D and all in uppercase, when you realize the translators actually exchanged the name of the Creator for this title, description, whatever the Lord is. We've become, you know, we became so used to it that to most of churchianity out there in the corporate church, the Lord sounds like, it seems like a holy name to them, and they think that is the name of God, you know. But it is not. It is actually, if you mouse over the 3068, you'll see there the Yahuwah. And our good friend Strong has it there pronounced out phonetically correct. Of course, you have to realize that the V is silent because it was actually a U, because a W is actually a double V. You get, like I said, you go back, you look at that 1611 King James Version, and it'll open up your eyes a little bit as to how pronunciations have changed, how letters have changed, and how many things have been added and changed in the Bible itself in the way that things are pronounced. So anyway, he has it there, Yahuwah, and it's Y-E-H-H-O-V-A-W, he has it. But the correct way to pronounce that would be Yahuwah, because, like I said, the V is silent. And, of course, it's not Yah, as in Y-E-H, but it would be more pronounced as a Y-A-H, as in Yah, or as in Hallelujah, because no one says Hallelujah. And, of course, no one ever says Hallelujah. So a lot of it, there's a lot of logic involved too. I mean, just add logic to all the evidence we have, and it's quite evident what's going on here. So anyway, I'm going to say Yahuwah when I see the Lord. It's kind of becoming automatic, or I'll just interchange so that I don't lose people that don't have a clue what's going on. But that's what we're talking about, is kind of translating the scripture correctly and correcting, you know, what has been changed, I believe, wrongfully over 6,000 times in the scripture. And we discussed that a little more in the first segment of the program, so you might want to go back there and listen to that if you didn't hear the first segment. But anyway, let's continue, because we want to try not to get too distracted from the message of Jeremiah. And the Heavenly Father, he says, Jeremiah speaking, he says, But Yahuwah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then Yahuwah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahuwah said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to rout out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, or Jeremiahu, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then saith Yahuwah unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then Yahuwah said unto me, Go out of the north, and evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of this land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahuwah, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Well, it's a terrible thing that's coming on Israel, as anyone who knows their history knows. And I believe it's a terrible thing that's coming on the land where I live. They burn incense to other gods. And that's the worship. You see it. It's all over the place, the worship of other gods. They've got the statues all over the place. They got opening up churches to Satan. And then they got the homosexuals bringing abominations into the congregation and saying how much they love God. They don't even know Him. Because if they knew Him, if they loved Him, they would want to do only those things that please Him. All of their wickedness, they've forsaken. They burned incense to other God. They worshiped the works of their own hands. And he's saying the same thing here. They have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Those are fairly synonymous statements. And that's what I see in the land where I live, is that people worship the works of their own hands. And those that are the best at the works of the flesh, those that become known for their arts and their crafts and their singing and their acting and all the works of their own hands, they become the richest, the most famous, the most idolized in the society. Much more so today with television. He continues, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. He's telling them not to be afraid of them. Otherwise, your words will be confounded. And everyone can relate to that. I think one of the greatest fears in society today is public speaking. So that's a fairly common fear. But for Jeremiah, for Yirmiyahu here, he's going to stand up in front of a lot of mighty people, and there's going to be a lot to fear, but it's going to be faith that's going to keep him stayed. And faith in that our Heavenly Father has put His words into his mouth. So He tells him not to be dismayed. Verse 18, For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Now you see that everyone, who's left out here, that this prophet is going up against in his land. And it's the same way today in America. A man of God, a true man of our Heavenly Father, a true prophet, and a prophet is just someone who, the scripture says it, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahshua or Jesus Christ. And that's right, we have His testimony in our mouth. We speak His words. And whoever does that is a prophet, basically. There are a lot of people who call themselves prophets, but they're just prognosticators using the Bible and the headlines in the newspaper. And there are plenty of them out there. You know who some of them are. But they don't really like the whole word. They kind of like a hop and a skip and a jump through the scriptures and You know, they find a verse here and a verse there. They'll pick one out of the Old Testament, and they'll find someone in the newspaper today that kind of sounds like one of those guys back there in one of them prophecies in the Old Testament, and they'll proclaim it so, when it absolutely, all they're doing is displaying their ignorance for them to know. And for those that don't know, well, hopefully they're smart enough to take it all with a grain of salt and not believe anything these prophet tears tell them. Okay, Jeremiah, verse 18, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city." So he's really building up his faith here, our Heavenly Father is, so he won't be dismayed at their faces, so he won't be confounded before them. But listing the people that he was against this prophet, the kings, well, he says the whole land, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. We got to, you know, nobody's being left out. So if we could go to modern day America here, we could say, well, against the, you know, against the king, yeah. I don't think that king would like what I have to say very much. What's that king's name? That funny sounding name, Hussein Obama. Yeah, that's the guy, the king of America. And against the king, against the princes, all of those, what do you call them, congressmen, and governors, and yeah, all those Antichrist people up there sitting in their high places. Yep. I can call them Antichrist because they don't allow Yahshua. They don't allow the Christ or the Messiah in. As a matter of fact, it's against their law. You know, like you go to their public schools and, you know, they can't allow that. So they are Antichrist, because if the words of Yahshua are correct when he said, if they're not for us, they are against us. If those words are true, then, well, there's a lot of against out there that is against him. So we got the princes, the priests. Aren't those like, you know, all those big wigs and the uppy muckies and the corporate church out there? Especially the high priests, the ones they have on the TV, you know. You know who I'm talking about. The ones raking in all the big bucks. And then behind the scenes, you got the ones that really control all the seminaries, the Jesuits who control the curriculum in the seminaries, and got everyone believing Ribera and Alcazar as to what prophecy has in store for us. So everybody's believing a fantasy, something that'll never come true, that's always way out there in the future. Either that, or you're really sad, you see, because you're one of the modern day Sadducees, and you think that the resurrection happened in 70 A.D. That's why I call them the modern-day Sadducees, the hyper-preterists, because they believe that everything happened by 70 A.D. And, well, I guess that there is no resurrection for us if it happened already in 70 A.D. And that's pretty sad. Not too many people buy into that one. But there are a few out there that do. And they're really holy people, because nothing. They border on Christian Science, you know, that none of this stuff that happens to flesh is really real, you know, the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow, it's all transitory, it doesn't matter. No, it's real, it's really happening, and the reason for it is, that sin might be judged in the flesh. So anyway, Jeremiah, Heavenly Father's saying, I've made thee a defense city against the kings, against the princes, against the priests, and against the people. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith Yahuwah, to deliver thee. So Jeremiah is a very special man here. Everybody in the land against him. Of course, I'm sure that our Heavenly Father has his remnant in the land, but basically speaking, the whole land, for the most part, and all the people, and everyone in office, whether it's religious or civil, well, he's against all of them. That's how totally debased the society had become in Jeremiah's day. And it's fairly the way it is today. in the land where I live. Sad to say. But I'm not surprised that things are turning out the way they're turning out. In chapter 2, verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown." Wow, you know, this sounds a lot. You know, that's why I love it, that it said he's the prophet to the nations. Because here we are in the same place. Can we remember? You think our Heavenly Father remembers the kindness of the youth of our nation? Remember the beast that rose up in the wilderness with two horns like a lamb? Yeah, like a lamb. That was the kindness of the youth of our nation. Kindness. This is the kindness, and speaking, of course, of Israel here, the kindness of thy youth. He says, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. Yes, they went after him. And, you know, this, we can take this to a personal level, too. It's very important for us to take it to a personal level. Because the nation is not going after him. They're not being espoused to him anymore. And, of course, the espousal speaks of a marriage, and or a betrothal, in our case. I would say a betrothal. Because, well, the marriage hasn't really happened yet, because the great marriage supper of the Lamb hasn't happened. But we are espoused to him. We are betrothed to him if we belong to him. It's like the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, they're all betrothed to him. But some of them aren't going to make it to the wedding feast. That's right. And it's so important that we, each one of us, be assured in our own minds, in our own hearts, our own spirit, that we are one of those that are going to make it to the wedding feast. We are espoused to him. He says, I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. Are you after him? You know, this, you know, we have here the beast that rose up out of the earth, or another translation I like is the beast that rose up in the wilderness, because that's America, rose up in the wilderness. America is so much like Israel, just by this statement here. Thou wentest after me in the wilderness. Are you after him? Then you are espoused to him. You are betrothed to him. And it's only if you stay after him that you're going to make it to that wedding feast. Remember, five of the virgins did not make it in the parable, and five did? Well, you know what? Let's be one of the five that did. And how's that going to happen? If we are after him. So the Heavenly Father is speaking. He's saying, Thus saith Yahuwah, speaking to Israel, I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was set apart. It says here, Israel was holiness unto Yahuwah, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith Yahuwah. Okay, that's a little archaic there in chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's see if I can figure out what we're saying here. Israel was holiness, and Kodesh means to set apart or a sacred thing. So Israel was set apart or a sacred unto Yahuwah, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him, oh, shall offend. Okay, it's all that devour Israel. That's where I get mixed up. All that devour him, or Israel, shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith Yahuwah. So all that try to devour Israel, evil shall come upon them. That's what he said. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of Yahuwah, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. And we're going to have to pick up here after this break. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes.
As you